Hello and welcome to this latest edition of Politics Kingston. It's the first week of December and it's now the rundown to Christmas and all that entails. But there's, believe it or not, still lots happening in the council at the minute, and it probably will go on until the next council meeting next week, which is the last one before the end of the year. Just to update you, this podcast is available to download on a number of podcast platforms. You may have come to it through this platform, or you can go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any of the other major platforms that you're aware of. This week we're going to do something different, which is we're going to take one subject only. We're not going to do a roundup of what's happened this week, just one subject, and that's cycling and the implementation of the Go Cycle programme in Kingston. I'm looking forward to hearing more about what is intended by it and how we're going to make it happen a bit better for the borough. To help us with this conundrum, I'm joined this week by a former councillor who wasn't re-elected in May this year, former councillor Terry Payton, who actually was quite deeply involved in the whole Go Cycle programme. So it'd be interesting to hear some insights from him. The first thing we need to look at when thinking about Go Cycling and why it's important is what's the reason for it? Why are we actually implementing these schemes? And I think the thing that convinced me about it was this whole notion of the growth in London, the number of people that want to come and live in Kingston, which is growing all the time, and the existing traffic issues, which I think probably are long-held traffic issues. I think I can remember my parents back in the 1970s and 80s moaning about traffic in Kingston, so I think it's new. But as we grow, we've got to try and find more ways of getting people around and about the borough, and I presume cycling became one thing that could move a great number of people without much impact. So that's why. But how do we get into this, Terry? I mean, what was the foundations of why we got this scheme in the first place?
When we go back in the history, I'm Terry Payton. I used to be the portfolio holder for the Go Cycle, as we called it. But going back in history, it was under Mayor Boris Johnson, there was £100 million available to boroughs to apply for cycling within their borough. So Liberal Democrats back in 2013 put in a bid, and the bid was accepted, but there were many issues with the projects that they had put forward. In 2014, in March, just before we took control of the council, the bid was actually accepted by the mayor, with £100 million then available to develop cycle routes within the borough.
How much did we get of that £100 million? Was it?
We actually got £32.7 million.
Blimey, okay, a lot of money. So what I mean, at that time it was about, my recollection was, it was about mini Hollands. That was what it was called, although frankly I'm not sure that people who live in Holland would consider St Mark's Hill to be something that you find in Holland. But I mean, putting that aside, it was called mini Hollands partly because it was trying to introduce this sort of European style cycling. Was that the idea?
Yeah, indeed. And looking across London, there were the cycle superhighways, which were seen as the way ahead. But here in Kingston, we felt it was sort of very different. We didn't want to be a part of a mini Holland or Holland type programme. We are Kingston. We're different from Holland. We're certainly different from Amsterdam, different demographics. And we wanted to put in a more kind of approach that's going to support everybody within their healthy lifestyle. So trying to encourage people to walk or nice places to go to. And so we decided to change to a Go Cycle programme, or indeed a Go programme, which was talking about the health of people across our borough.
So when you say Go Cycle and the Go Cycle programme, it is actually an integrated programme with other things that we're trying to do at the same time. Is that the idea behind it?
Indeed, it's even supporting our complementary measures, which is helping to get young people or disabled people on bikes, helping the elderly, helping people who've had health conditions to give them the opportunity to get some exercise and to improve their conditions as
okay.
well.
And when the new Mayor Khan came in, which is now 2.5 years ago, there was this then shift, wasn't there, towards... Well, I think it was something I thought we were trying to do anyway, because I think we were very clear that this couldn't just be about cyclists, because if it was just about cyclists, you get an awful lot of antagonism towards them. So it had to be about others as well. So the mayor shifted the policy towards healthy streets, which I don't know whether you have a view about whether that's been a good thing or bad thing.
Yeah, I think it's actually a very good thing. To be honest, when the Deputy Mayor of London, Val Shawcross, at the time came to visit us, she started to talk about the Mayor's programme, the Healthy Streets programme, and she asked if we'd actually heard of it. I said, heard of it? It looks like the Mayor's actually looked at what we've been trying to do in Kingston and has based his whole Healthy Streets programme on the work that we've been doing. So very much supported what the Mayor was doing as a Healthy Streets as opposed to just cycle superhighways.
So, Terry, we've covered why we're doing it, doing growth. We've got money to do some experimenting and to put new schemes in, and, you know, the Mayor's developing policy around it. The question is, what is it we're doing? You know, so I suppose there are various options, and it would be really helpful, I think, for people to understand why it is that they're losing some of their road space and it's becoming cycle space and what the principles are behind it. So could you tell us where we started with that?
I think the principles of where we started were trying to ensure that we built a network, not where you've seen cycle lanes in the past, here and there, that don't lead to anything. So it was looking at a proper network so that people can join the network and get to any part of Kingston by joining like a spider web of routes that were coming into the centre of Kingston.
So obviously at the minute then what people are seeing is a slightly disjointed network. They can go so far and then they have to stop and catch a bus maybe, I don't know. But so in fact it's actually some of the issues around the network is because it's not in place, is that right? I mean, when is the programme due to end?
Well, I think the due to end part is going to be down to the current administration of how quickly they progress. We certainly were progressing very fast in building the network up, but obviously there were some sections that you wait for the second part of that section or the third part to go in. For instance, Portsmouth Road, we had that finished first, but we still had Kingston High Street to do, which is now being completed as one of the last things that we had signed off to allow an area to join up onto the Portsmouth Road to make it easier to get bikes onto that section.
I try not to mention Brexit on these things, and I'm not suggesting Brexit's having any impact on our Go Cycle programme at all. But Brexit's one of those things at the minute which I would consider to be quite divisive. I think what surprised me about this cycling programme is how divisive it is. So what you've got is a group of people, often who live near the new cycle lanes, who are quite upset about it when you consult with them. You then get a whole load more people who get actually just quite angry when the scheme is going in. So they're driving past it every day and can't understand why they're stuck in traffic just for a bunch of cycle lanes. And then when you get it in place, it's bizarre because although the previous people tend to say, actually, it looks quite good and it's improved my public rail, you still get this whole bunch of people who keep, even today, sending me emails complaining about the fact that nobody's using the bloody cycle lanes, which we spent millions on. So the thing is, it is quite a difficult thing to handle. And do you think there's any way that we can change the culture of the way things are done here? Because what I worry about is it actually working? I mean, I look at the numbers of people that are now cycling along the Portsmouth Road in comparison to where we were before. And whilst it is, in a percentage terms, a big increase, 60, 70%, of course, in pure numbers, it's not many. What do you think is going to really transform it? Or is it going to work? I mean, that's the question. Maybe you don't know the answer. Maybe you're not a seer who understands these things.
Quite interesting. I mean, first of all, we start for a lot of the projects after the public consultations have got huge similarities with Brexit, in that we've had 48 to 52, and we've got a very a very divided kind of demographic over who wants to cycle, who doesn't, and motorists upset. Which is why we moved into a programme to try our absolute best to limit the issues to motorists. We wanted to support everybody in the borough, and especially by bringing in places to visit and also trying to reduce pollution. But I would say in the long term, you've got to look at once these networks are completed. At the moment, they're still under construction. So once the networks are completed, that will be the test. But we have a slight problem in this country with weather. And, you know,
yeah, right.
When it's an awful day, who is really going to want to go out and cycle? You may still have the commuters, but your leisure cyclists, who we have also tried to support with the Go Cycle programme, is going to decide to go back to the car or back to the bus, as quite often happens.
Mm. I mean, a point I made this week when we were in a council meeting discussing the Surbiton to Tolworth, which is basically going to put a cycle lane down the Yule Road. One of the things I was raising was my concern about these numbers. It seemed not to be transformational. And I did make the point that I wondered whether spending so much money on infrastructure is the right approach, you know, the actual physical roads. When you look back at London and how Boris tackled cycling, it was very much about having the bicycles at the forefront of it. So the Boris bike, what is Santander bike, whatever it's called now, came first, and the cycle superhighways came afterwards. And I do wonder whether we're going to find that until we get some proper bike scheme running, it's going to be difficult to encourage people to cycle in and out of the town centre. I mean, I don't know what your views are on that. I mean, I noticed, for example, the university now has a bike scheme very similar to the Boris one. And I just wondered whether that's something you'd had a view on.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. The university has also got some electric bikes now as well. We also progressed with the Brompton bikes. So we put various little areas of Brompton bike docks in. And the biggest surprise for me on that was at Surbiton Station. We put one dock in there, which became the most well-used Brompton bike dock in the whole country. But the problem we didn't anticipate wasn't the people arriving at Surbiton Station taking out their bike and having a ride around Kingston, dropping it back later. They were arriving at the station, taking the bike, taking it into London.
Yeah.
And then using the bike and then dropping it back all day. So there wasn't of any real benefit to Kingston. But we did double the size of the dock and ensure that there are bikes available for people when they arrived at Surbiton. So that's one way we're progressing on that side. But one of the things that's starting to concern me, with Portsmouth Road, we looked at the original plans, which we didn't like a cycle route on each side of the road, which would basically have meant the road would not be wide enough at all. So we put it onto one side of the road to ensure we had enough space to get to cause more traffic problems. But we also put a lot of money into the kind of trees in the environment in the area, enhancing along the Queen's promenade to improve the area. And I look at the Tolworth one now, and I don't really see that it's going to be enhancing or reducing pollution on that side of it, or the actual healthy street side of it. It's definitely a cycle lane, but I haven't yet seen anything on that that's going to suggest.
Yeah, that was a point that was debated actually at this meeting this week about it, was the fact that one of the problems you've got is that it's all very well just putting a whole bunch of paving in and a new lane, but where are the environmental improvements, the sort of softer stuff, which is what people come to expect from it? You know, because if it is supposed to be about healthy streets, cycling is healthy, but equally reducing pollution is a really key important part. And in fact, only last week we were discussing this very fact that Tolworth's one of the most air polluted places in London. And anything we can do to try and improve that is going to be a positive to it. So I think they've got work to do on that scheme. I think the problem is, though, it's just quite expensive. I mean, if people were to hear how much these cycle lanes cost, I mean, I suppose the trouble with it is I don't think it's any more expensive than any other roadworks, but any roadworks has a huge cost attached to it. You know, resurfacing just a simple road that's 100 metres long, I don't know, it seems to cost about £70,000. And you know, if you want to resurface it properly, you're talking two or three times that, if you want to strip it all out. And so these works that we're doing are quite expensive. And, you know, for £32.7 million, which is what you said at the beginning, you do wonder, you know, whether we're going to run out of money at the way things are going. I mean, is that a possibility, do you think? Or do you think the mayor will stump up more?
Who knows what the mayor's going to do, what he's doing with the money in London at the moment. It would be very interesting to see if there's a follow-on to this, or there's going to be other boroughs that can improve their networks to join up with our network. And it's going to be very, very interesting how that progresses. The other problem, of course, is as our roads begin to clog up with more and more cars, and we have more and more developments being passed in the areas, putting more people on the roads, it may be a situation where we're just going to have to cycle, because you're not going to get anywhere in a car. You're just going to be stuck in traffic the whole time. So it may be a choice that's forced upon a lot of people to use their bikes in the future.
Terry, one of the most controversial schemes, I mean, apart from the initial one, Portsmouth Road, which was the first one, so it is obviously going to be complicated because you were laying down principles of the Go Cycle programme there. One of the most controversial schemes that arose was the treatment at the Fountain Roundabout in New Malden. We had a massive campaign against it because in principle it was about turning the roundabout into a crossroads. Now, I didn't have a problem with that because most of the stuff that we saw indicated that it would be better for the traffic flows, particularly around buses, if we did that. And it actually created a great deal more public realm, because you were able to spread the roundabout's public realm out further beyond the roundabout. What's your reflections on that now? I mean, is that dead? Do you think they'll come back to that? Do you think they'll try to do it again? Or are we left with the roundabout as it is in perpetuity? Because I can't imagine any more funding is going to come along for it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because there's only one, I mean, we looked at, I think, originally 16 or 17 different options for the roundabout, and changing to various different types of junction or different types of roundabout. So we literally came to what was the best by far way of going ahead, which improved the public realm, as you said, and it also did not delay the buses. But for me, I think it became a political campaign, and a lot of misinformation was put out, and it started off misinformation that we were going to take away the historical fiberglass fountain, which clearly wasn't historical. The original fountain was made of stone, which was knocked down in 1932, and of course until the 1950s it wasn't a roundabout anyway, it was a junction.
Yeah.
So we were kind of taking it back to the original history, and actually had a person in place to make a water fountain which would be fine for people to drink from, which is very much highlighted these days in the opportunities for people to refill their reusable containers to get water rather than buying single-use plastics. So we had a lot of that kind of in preparation, but I think because it became political, there were lots of things said which weren't true, and unfortunately the scheme had to be dropped. But I can't really see any better option than the one that we had on the table. You could probably make a few tweaks, which we would have done anyway, to improve what we had from in a position it was, just to improve it slightly. But I can't really see there are any other options. And trying to get around the roundabout is getting worse every week. And as soon as anything goes wrong, you're stuck there for, you know, sometimes 45 minutes or plus, stuck in the high street. It's an awful junction at the moment.
I don't know if you're a betting man. You're probably not, because you're a Fulham supporter. But yeah, I don't know if you're a betting man. But do you think that's it now? Do you think that's ever going to come back? Do you think the current council will try again or not?
I would think they're going to have to try again, but I think the embarrassment for the current council is they're going to have to bring something back very similar to what we had on the table, because nothing else would get through to get the money from the mayor, because we can't delay the buses, and you know their original option of a Dutch style roundabout giving priorities to cyclists just would not work. It would delay the buses to such a point that it just wouldn't be worth it, and that would increase pollution. So we just want to reduce the pollution and get cars around there quicker.
Good. So it's a few more years to go, a few more years of pain, of digging the roads up and trying to get these cycle lanes in place before we can probably measure the impact that it's having on cycling. I mean, I hope it works, because as I said to you, if there really genuinely is going to be 30 or 40,000 more people living in the borough, then it's going to have to work, because if it doesn't work, we're going to be completely messed up as a place, and nobody will ever be able to get anywhere, because it will be complete chaos. So it's one of those things where residents often complain about house building, is it needs to have infrastructure. Well, folks, this is infrastructure, and this is what is currently happening at the moment. But we do have to see whether it's going to be as transformational as it possibly is. Terry, you're a paddleboarder, not a cyclist, aren't you?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So you can't paddleboard down cycle lanes. So have you got a bike though? Are you going to go out?
Yeah, I've got a bike. I was using my bike yesterday, actually, and in the rain, which that was a kind of force for me. But yeah, I do
by
use
the way,
my bike.
By the way, Terry does paddleboard lessons if anybody wants a paddleboard lesson. Although I imagine you wouldn't want to do it to the spring at the minute, because it's bloody cold out there.
Yeah, it's only the crazy ones of us that continue through the winter. We'll start lessons again back in
Terry,
April.
Terry, just aside, you're not a councillor. You lost the election. Yeah. You know, it's now, what, 6-7 months after the election?
Indeed,
do you miss it?
I miss it tremendously. I just loved helping people. People will know I used to be a police officer, and that was for the same reason. So not having the opportunity to get out and help people is very difficult now. But, you know, I'm not going to go away. I'm going to be around, and I'm going to try and support things to happen and improve the borough as I've always wanted to do. So I'm not going away.
Brilliant. Well, let's hope we get an opportunity to get you back on the council. Nice to speak to you, Terry. Thanks so much for coming along. That's it for another week. Next week, we hope to have with us Afra Brandreth. Afra has recently been selected as the Conservatives' candidate for the next general election in Kingston Surbiton. So she's got a lot to tell us about herself and her views, particularly in the wake of the vote for Brexit, which is going to be taking place during the course of next week. So looking forward to that. And we'll also catch up on some other council business, which may be there to finish off the Christmas period. So this podcast, as always, is available through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all of the other platforms. And you can contact me on kevin@kevindavis.org.uk. If you want to ask a question or suggest somebody we might want to get in to have a conversation with, then please just let me know. Thanks so much.